Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, welcome to Family Church Corey. Praise the Lord. The 6 o'clock edition. Praise God. Hallelujah. You found church on a Saturday night. That's not bad. Amen. You came to the right place at the right time, and we're excited for what God's doing. Amen. I'm excited for what God's doing here. I'm excited for what He's doing in Mayville. I'm excited for what He's doing in the family churches. I'm excited for what He's doing in this country. I'm just excited for God because I know that He's doing good things. Amen. God loves us. He loves His people, and it's about time that people really understood that. That people really understand what God's love is all about. God's love is not just, you know, God's love is a happy love, and it makes us feel good, amen, and it's good stuff, but it's not just about feeling happy. God's love is about living right. God's love is about helping us. God's love is about establishing His kingdom on the earth. Praise the Lord, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited I get to be a minister of the gospel. You know, this message that I'm preaching today actually came out of some revelation that I got. I think it was even yesterday it was Thursday night. I was going to dinner with my mom, and as we were driving, you know, I had a meeting, just prior to that with somebody from our Mayville congregation, and I spent some time talking with them and about some stuff, and you know, and I realized something as I was leaving there, as I was headed to dinner with my mom, I realized what my job really is. Amen. Now, of course, we know what my job is. The Bible tells us what the job of a pastor is, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for revelation in the Word, but you know, or I'll say knowledge in the Word. Praise the Lord. But it's the revelation of the Word that always changes you. See, you can have knowledge of the Word without revelation. Now, a lot of people, you might not understand that, but it's the truth. Revelation's when you get it. Yeah. Amen? And I love revelation. I love it. You know, it's one thing to read something and say, this is what you do, but it's something totally different to get it. Amen? And I'm just so glad that I got it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not to say that I didn't get it before, but I'm just saying that God will always reveal it. You know, the Bible says we go from glory to glory. And so every day, if we just seek after God, He's always trying to get us to a higher level of understanding, a higher level of understanding His Word, a higher level of understanding His Spirit, and a higher level of understanding Him, praise the Lord. And this is so exciting to me. And so as I was driving, I realized what the Lord uses me for, or what He uses any minister of the gospel, but really what He's doing is he's helping His people connect with Him. And so I get to be used in my job, my life, I get to be used as somebody that helps God's people find Him. Amen. Helps God's people find their plan from God. Amen. Now, I don't make it up. I don't come up with it. But I get to help point people in that direction. And it's kind of exciting, praise the Lord. It is for me anyways. Because I realize that there's eternal consequences that are tied to that, you know, and that's an exciting thing, because everything you do on earth, you know, everything I do on earth is a result of what I've understood about God. Amen. As I, you know, when I didn't live with God, when I wasn't living with God in my life, amen, I went about doing life the way that I wanted to, and I didn't know God. Even though I thought I did, I didn't know Him. And then when somebody connected me to this Word, and somebody connected me to the direction that's laid out here, it just really changed my life. That's when the bondages started breaking, and our lives started being more blessed, and happiness and joy, all these things that I wasn't experiencing. All these things were ushered in through the understanding, the revelation, and the teaching that comes out of this Bible. Amen? And I'm just excited for that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the pastoral office in context. But that's not what it's called. Today's message is called Good Tidings of Good Things. Amen? Now, we should know that phrase, it should be familiar to us. If we've ever been to a Christmas pageant at a church or something like that, we would know what good tidings of good things. Amen. We know that was what was said from the angels when Jesus was coming. You know, and Jesus was, they were bringing good tidings. Well, you know, that's what a pastor's job is to teach you the truth. The pastor's job is to help guide you into the truth. The word pastor literally means shepherd, amen? And I love that because it gives us just a really good understanding of what our job is all about and what we do. And we do the work of a shepherd as it pertains to people, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Now, before I get into all this, I want to encourage you with this. You know, I was thinking of this on the way down as we were coming down tonight. You know, I was thinking about what example can I use to really drive home the purpose behind what this sermon is coming out of, amen? And I got to thinking about when we were starting the Mayville Church and we were first starting to incorporate. So when we were part of the Jamestown Church, they sent us out to start the Mayville Church. And we started the Mayville Church under the umbrella of the Jamestown Church. And so we did that until the Mayville Church could stand on its own. Then once the Mayville Church could stand on its own, it was time to separate us. Amen. It's kind of like a child when a child grows up and gets married and goes out and starts living their own life. Amen. That's kind of the same thing. And so we were at that place where we could go off and get married. Hallelujah. And so we went out and I had to start dealing with the lawyer. Okay, because everything you do, you have to do it legally. You want to make sure it's on the up and up. You know, praise the Lord. We had to get everything in, you know, our bylaws and had all this thing set up so you can do all this stuff. Otherwise, they'll come shut you down, you know, all this thing. But, and it's not a bad thing. It's protection. It's good. I believe in it. But I didn't say I believe in our government. I said I believe in, you know, some healthy rules and regulations. Amen. I understand it because there's a lot of people, you know, there's things there that keep us protected. Praise the Lord. Sometimes they go too far with it. Glory to God, we ain't getting into that. But you know what I'm saying. But this isn't a pro, this isn't like just love your government kind of sermon. That's not what I'm talking about. Love your pastor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But at any rate, we had this lawyer, and I don't understand legal things. Very little, anyways. And one thing I found out about the legal stuff is what you think should happen is very rarely what happens. What you think should be is very rarely what is. Amen? And that's why lawyers make so much money, because they know how to interpret it, if you want to call it that, praise the Lord. But they know how to interpret the law and make it work in your benefit or get you to that place. And so you got to hire them to do all this, you know, and they put everything purposely in language you can't understand so they can charge you lots of money to take care of it. Amen? Well, praise God. We have good lawyers for it. They're a good Christian lawyer outfit. Praise the Lord. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but they are. Praise God. We're not bashing lawyers either, but they're good lawyers. But this is my point to all of this. You know, my pastor said, you know, you figure it out. You got to do it. So I had to go out and do it. I had to figure it all out. And so he said, we'll pay for the lawyer. You just go do it. I was like, okay. So I contacted the lawyer, and they said, you have to fill out this paperwork. And I was like, all right. And there's lots of paperwork. And I filled out all the paperwork, you know, the best of my ability. And I started getting frustrated because some of the paper, I don't understand what they're asking for. And there's this, and this, you know, and all these different things. And I got to the point, I was so frustrated. This is like, you got to understand, this is weeks of me going back and forth and spending all this time trying to figure out language that I don't understand. I mean, it was literally like reading a different language to me. And trying to get everything and just right and all this stuff. And I was frustrated. And finally, because I didn't want to bother my pastor with all this stuff, because partially he told me not to. Hallelujah. And so I didn't want to bother him with all this stuff. And I finally get to the point where I was like Popeye, done stands it till I couldn't stands it no more. Hallelujah. And I got the horn to my pastor. I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I am frustrated. I don't know what to do. I got to get this stuff turned in. And I don't know what to do. And he said, call the lawyer. And I was like, I can do that? And he's like, yeah. Because I didn't realize. The lawyer didn't tell me, hey, if you have any questions, call me back. They just gave me this, and this, said do this. And I figured that's what I had to do and figure it out. I didn't realize that there was somebody who was advocating for me. There's somebody who was doing some of the legwork ahead of time, or that knew and understood things. And by me connecting them, guess what? They made that paperwork pretty simple. Real simple, in fact. In fact, I didn't even have to worry about it anymore. I called the lawyer and was like, oh, yeah, just do this. That easy, just like that, it's just done. See, that's the way a pastor is. That's what a pastor is to our lives, amen? A pastor is somebody that the Lord has placed there purposely in our lives to help us get to the place we need to be. God wants the outcome. Just like my pastor, he was all for us starting the church. He wouldn't have sent us out and then funded it if it weren't the case. But you understand, he was an advocate for us. But the lawyer was an advocate for us. They were the ones that were looking at all the make sure all the T's were crossed and all the I's were dotted. You know, and spiritually, that's what a pastor does. See, we can be a Christian in the sense of we could get saved on our own. We don't need a church to do it. But Jesus gave us pastors, praise the Lord, and aren't you glad? And now, you know, a lot of you are going to sit there, not maybe, I don't think a lot of you are going to do it, but some people might sit there and think, well, you're just preaching about yourself. See, you always know I seek the Lord for my messages. The last thing I want to do is preach about myself, but I do need to preach about the office I stand in, because that's important for us. Amen? And if we want to get the most out of it, we have to know how to connect with that. Praise the Lord. So why don't you turn with me to Matthew 9:36. We're finally getting to some scripture here. It was a long introduction. Praise the Lord. But God is good and He'll get us through. Amen. Jesus said we're going to the other side, so we will too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they put some, you know, just like Jesus has put boundaries on the devil that he can only push you so far. You know the Bible says that the devil can't push you beyond what you can endure. God has given him boundaries, but just like that, they've given me boundaries. I have to finish by a certain time, so I can't keep you here all night. So even if it feels like it, we're not going to be here all night long. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So Matthew 9:36, glory to God. Hallelujah. Says, this is talking about Jesus, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Glory to God. They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You know, finding a shepherd, finding my shepherd was one of the most important things that God ever did in my life. And the reason it was because it was finding my past. I can connect every blessing that my wife and I live in today is connected to that man that the Lord has put in my life. And it is not because he did it. It has nothing to do with Tim Stallman as a man. It has nothing to do with his intelligence, with his characteristics, with his personality. It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with God working through him. Amen. And that's what we need to understand. Now, this is what I'm going to take this a little bit further at this point so you can understand that I'm not just talking about me, but that's what God wants to do in all of us. He wants us to reach the world. And so God always does things through the work of men and women. Always does. He always did and he always will. You know, it was revelation to me, I think just the other night when I was preaching on Tuesday night in Mayville, that, you know, Jesus, when he came, he could have come as God. Right? He didn't come as God. He came as a man. And he lived as a man. He walked this earth as a man. And he died as a man. And he did that to show us just continually what God has always wanted to do. Everything he's ever done on this earth, he's done through men and women, the hands of men and women. Every single thing. So we are the hands of Jesus. We are the feet of Jesus. We are the body. This is why we are called the body of Christ, because the head directs it. Yes, we are directed by the head, but the head directs, but the body does the work. My head tells my hands what to do. Praise the Lord. My head tells my feet what to do. My head tells my feet where to go. Praise the Lord. And this is the way that it works. If your brain doesn't work right, then these don't work right. Praise the Lord. But on the flip side, if these aren't working right, this ain't getting nothing done. There's people that I knew a young man who tragically was early on in life when he was a teenager, was in a car accident and was paralyzed from the waist down. But you know, his legs were useless after that. They were absolutely useless. They didn't do anything for him. He could think that he wanted to move. He could think that he wanted to walk or run or do these things, but his legs didn't work that way. And so we understand that the body is incredibly important to the head. And so Jesus himself has called us the body. So we are the ones that are going to be used. Now, going back to how this pertains to a pastor, Jesus here, when he was on earth, what he saw moved him. The Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now, when Jesus said he was moved, now listen, we have a different understanding of what being moved is. If we're moved, oh, we heard a good song and I was moved and I felt something happy. And I felt something glad, and you know, sometimes people are moved, and they're moved by emotion and stuff like that. Jesus was moved by emotion, but what it means when Jesus was moved by emotion is that he was going to do something about it. Because Jesus doesn't look at something and then say that he can do something about it and say, I'm not going to do it. Because Jesus died for us. He paid the price for us. He lived a sin-free life for us. Praise the Lord. He didn't need to come down here. He did it all for us. He was here for us. This is why people don't, you know, they talk about, you know, would Jesus, yes, Jesus probably dealt with the feelings of a human. He was a human. But the thing is his goal, because his end goal was different. See, he saw the end from the beginning. He was here for a purpose. And then to him, that's all that mattered was that purpose. Nothing else mattered. But see, the same thing goes with us. We are here for a purpose, and so nothing else should matter. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he was moved with compassion because they were scattered, weary and scattered. They were weak and tired. They couldn't do anything. This is the way I was in my life before I found my pastor. Before I found, and notice I said I found. My pastor didn't call. It wasn't a cult. He didn't come and make me be part of it. He didn't have somebody standing there with a gun making me stay. Praise the Lord. Nobody ever made me stay. He never made me come to church. He never made me be faithful. None of these things. But I learned in the Word the necessity of it. And see, that's the difference. That's the difference. We do preach the truth, and the truth will always lead us sometimes in things that sound like, okay, well, we got to follow a man. Well, yeah, get over it. We always have to follow a man or a woman, you know, mankind. We're always going to be under somebody. If you have a job, you're going to have a boss. If you work for yourself, you're going to have somebody you're working for, somebody who's hiring you to do the job. So either way, there's always someone you're going to answer to. Amen. That's not a bad thing. Hallelujah. You get pulled over, you're going to get answer. You're going to have to answer to somebody. You're driving your car, you're going to have to answer to somebody. Whatever you do in life, you got to answer to somebody. So that's not a bad thing. God has set it up that way on purpose. Praise the Lord. They were weary and scattered. We don't want to be weary and scattered. That's the way I was. I was all over the place. I never knew what to do. See, God used a man to come into my life and to help guide me into that path that God had for me. And I could not operate in that path. The path is right here today. I would have never been a pastor. From the time I was a little child, I knew that I was called. As far back as I can remember, I knew that I was called to the ministry. I knew it. I didn't even always know what it was, but I knew I was called to the ministry. I knew it. But I could have never walked into that plan. I could have never walked that path unless God had set someone in my path to help me find it. Hallelujah. Because I need it. Now, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, and that's good. But we need God's always done things through men. He always will, praise the Lord. And so we understand that. And when I say man, you understand most of the time when I say man in context like this, I'm talking about mankind. It means men and women. Like it could be a woman, it could be a man. God's not like just picking men or whatever, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm not trying to be politically correct, because if you know me, the first thing you'll know is that I am not politically correct. I don't give a rip about being, in fact, I hate political correctness, and I trounce on that a lot, praise the Lord. I come against that a lot in my life, praise God, to a fault sometimes, praise the Lord. When I started, in preparing this message, I started researching the word shepherd a little bit, because I always like the deeper knowledge. You know, I love to get the deeper knowledge of the word. And, you know, I found this in the concordance, which was pretty interesting. You know, Jesus, when the Bible was written, you know, we have to remember this about the context. This is one thing that will help us interpret scripture rightfully, amen, or not really interpret it, but rightfully divide the word as the Bible says. You know, this is how we can know that we're being right on, is that you have to understand the context of the time that it was spoken in. You know, if Jesus was here today writing this this Bible today, you know, if the disciples were writing this Bible today, you would no doubt see references to iPhones. You would no doubt, or smartphones or something, you no doubt see references to vehicles and airplanes and stuff. They didn't have this stuff back then. So they used the language that they understood. And so in order to understand what's going on, you have to understand what the time period was and what they were talking about. Amen? Praise God. And so one of the things, this is what it said about shepherd. The task of a Near Eastern shepherd were this. They were to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep. They were to defend the sheep from attackers, and they were to heal the wounded and sick sheep. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. To find and save the lost or trapped sheep, to love them, sharing their lives, and so earning their trust. Wow. Amen. Let me say that again. So they were to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep. They were to defend the sheep from those attackers. They were to help heal the wounded and sick sheep. They were to find and save lost or trapped sheep. Lost or trapped sheep. Praise the Lord. To love them, sharing their lives, and so earning their trust. You know, we have a little dog that loves us. Now, I know I'm not deceived. We understand this dog. This dog has not an ounce of loyalty in her. You could take her, and she would love you just the same until someone else came along and took her. It doesn't matter. That's how she is. She just, but when you're there right in front of her, she loves you. Amen. She loves, she trusts us. She, you know, she doesn't think that we're going to hurt her because we don't hurt her. You know, I'm sure in her doggy brain, she assumes that we're going to feed her and that we're going to keep water in her dish most of the time. You know what I mean? And that we're going to take her out and stuff like that. You know, so we take care of her. But this is kind of the same thing. But you know something about sheep that's really interesting and about a shepherd that's really interesting is that a shepherd doesn't go into another shepherd's flock and help those sheep. Or a shepherd doesn't necessarily see a sheep out wandering around that isn't his and go after it because it's not his. And see, this is something that we have to understand that is very incredibly important, is that we determine what sheep, we determine by following the Lord what sheepfold we are a part of, but we are a part of a sheepfold nonetheless. We know this in using the example of sheep that are wandering by themselves are in extreme danger. And we're going to see that in the Word tonight. Praise the Lord. But the sheep that are off by themselves are in extreme danger because they're not protected. They don't have the things. This is why Jesus uses this language. This is why the Bible uses this language to get us to understand that sheep are not, a sheep may feel tough. You know, we had this little, she's little. I mean, she's full grown. She's 4 years old. And she's only 6 pounds. Right? She's that big, right? Her name's Cassie, little kind of Yorkie dog or whatever. Praise the Lord. Not the most manly dog, but she's a good dog anyway. But you know, sometimes she thinks she's a lot bigger than she is. I brought her up to my mom's the other night and introduced her again to her dogs. And they're two dachshunds, miniature dachshunds, but they're bigger than she is, a lot bigger than she is. And you know, and they're like, they see her and they're like, poof, they want to get in there. You know, they want to smell her and lick her and all that stuff. She wasn't having it. And so she started growling. You know, she started giving them the feedback. You know what I mean? She's like, arr. And you'd see these bigger dogs. She'd start doing that. And these bigger dogs would be like, whoa, wait a minute here. What's up? You know what I mean? I mean, they literally say that. But that's, you could tell in doggy language, that's exact. I'm the dog whisperer. I know what they were saying. They're like, hey, hold up here. And she's like, arr. You know, she was a lot bigger in her mind than she thought she was. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing when something, you know, big noise outside and all of a sudden it's like, arr, you know, they start. Why do they do that? Because, you know, they have it in their head. But see, people have that in their head sometimes. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need church. I'm fine. I don't need a pastor. I don't need all this stuff. Jesus said you needed it. The Bible says you need it. Jesus recognized the need for it so much, so we're going to see it tonight, so much so that the first thing he did after he ascended to heaven was give us the ministry offices to do just this. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so it matters how we connect. It matters that we're like, yes, we find the sheep. Yes, it's between us and God to show us where our sheepfold is, where we belong. But once we're there, that's when we stay. And I'm going to tell you, I've noticed Christians throughout my life that aren't planted in a local church, that aren't submitted to a pastor in a local church, I have noticed that they are always the screwy quit Christians. They're the ones that are always the most lost. They're always the ones that are most confused. The ones whose doctrine is always off. The ones who don't really know. They're, you know, bopping around back and forth, never really knowing what to do. They're never led by the Spirit, ever. Led by the Spirit, though led by spirits. This is just something I've noticed. And you can take my word for it. You can't, or you don't have to, but that's the truth. Praise the Lord. You know, one day we live out in the country, and one day we were driving, my wife and I think we were going to get, this summer, we were going to get breakfast or something. And as we were driving down the road, we get to the end of our road, and there's this pasture on the left-hand side, as it were, where we were driving. And the cows had somehow gotten through the fence. Now, you know, the farmer doesn't put up the fence Because he just wants to control those cows in the sense that he wants them to live a miserable life and not be happy. You know, in fact, he gives them a big area to walk around in. But these cows had gotten out. And there was this one in particular. And you could tell as you were pulling up that he was just, it was a cow. it was some kind of big, you know, cow or bull. It wasn't a bull. It was a cow. So it would have been obvious it was. But regardless, it was like, you could tell it was very sure of itself. It was very emboldened by the fact that it knew it was on the other side of the fence. Because they know. Animals know. I don't know how they know, but they know. They know that there's something on the other side of the fence that they want more, and they'll go there. Humans are the same way. And so this cow was out, and we stopped because I had this thing. If I see an animal on the side of the road that's standing there, I have to stop and talk to it. That's just my thing. It's something I like to do. Deer, I'm the deer whisperer. I'm the cow whisperer. You know, and usually it's just like, I love especially deer because you pull up and sometimes you get them. You just roll down your window. You're like, hey. And they're like, you know, they stop and look at you. And then I just start talking to them like, are there any person? You know what I mean? And then they look at you like, who is this guy? What is he doing? They're like, that's why they don't move, because they're like, is this guy nuts? You know? But so this cow, you know, I pull up and I'm like, hey. And it stops and it looks at me. I don't even have a video. And you could tell it was like kind of like, oh no, you're not putting me back in there. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to, obviously, but you could tell that's what he was doing. And so it was like, and so it like mooed like really loud. It did its, you know, bleh, you know, it does its thing. It really super loud, and you could tell it was aggressive. You know, you can tell in tones, right? You can tell when people talk, if they're happy, if they're sad. You can tell if they're mad. And you could tell this cow wasn't happy. Because you could tell, and I knew why, because that cow thought that I was going to come put him back where it belonged. And he wasn't happy. And so he lets out this really angry moo. I got it on video. He lets out this real angry moo. And then he or she, whatever, turns around and starts walking up the hill away from me. Because it's like, I'm getting out of here before he gets there. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But you know, this is exactly what, I know there's a lot of illustrations here tonight, but praise the Lord, this is exactly the way it is with people sometimes. People think when you start reading, when you start giving them direction, they think when you start leading them in a certain area and you start trying to corral them a little bit. You know, people get uncomfortable with that. Yeah. Like, don't tell me to be in church because, you know, I want to choose. Well, yeah, you can choose between you and God. Between you and God, it's very important. Find out from God where you're called to be. Yeah. But once you're there, you need to be corralled. You need to be taught. You need to be filled. We need these things in our lives. I was a wreck of a person. And the reason I was a wreck of a person, I was scattered and faint. I was a wreck. I mean, mentally, I couldn't barely even hold a job. Sometimes I was so bad I couldn't even go outside. You understand? All this has gotten worked out of me because I was placed in the right place. You know what I mean? And that's what God wants to do with us. Jesus was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered. He's like, no, we got to corral them. We got to get them back together. Yeah. You know, sometimes a free-for-all is just not good. Yeah. You know, if I never have anything to do, I end up doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I really don't. Like, I'll end up, like, laying on the couch watching videos all day or something like that. We have to have direction in our lives. We have to. It's good that we have boundaries set up. Amen. It's good that the earth doesn't just go on forever. The same God that made the earth, couldn't he made it 4-5 times as big? Isn't that interesting? You know, this is something interesting, just something to chew on, and something I've thought about a lot is that you know, the earth. You know, we know according to Scripture that we are getting close to the end times. Amen. We know at any rate that it won't go on for thousands of years. But we know according to Scripture we're close to the end times. This earth, there's people that have done studies on, or they've just done the calculations on this. With the rate that people are multiplying on the earth, when you start getting up into the many billions of people and those people start multiplying, it starts adding numbers quickly. And do you know that this earth, as much as we have vast open areas and stuff like that, it can't go on for a real long time. I'm talking, you know, extended period. I don't know whether it's like hundreds of years or thousands of years. But this earth will get overpopulated quick. And you see that like in China. They even limit the number of kids they can have because of the overpopulation. There's just explosion. They just can't fit all the people. And there's only so many resources. You know, God created this earth. He could have created it with bountiful or endless resources. He could have created it with 3-4 times the size that it was. He could have created it so it grows just like we do. But he didn't do that, did he? God set boundaries. I love in the book of Job, when God was questioning Job, he said, "Where were you when I laid the boundaries of the earth?" He said, "When I spoke to the waves and said, 'Thus far and no farther shall you come.'" I just love that scripture. "Thus far and no farther shall you come." He determined how big the seas were going to be. He set boundaries for the sea. Now you look at the sea right now, and you know, down in North Carolina, and they got all this stuff going on, and they got all this, the hurricane stuff and the waves and everything, but there's still boundaries. You know, all that water can't come on land. A lot of it can, but not all of it can. You see, God has set boundaries on this earth. It can only go so far. The Bible tells us he set boundaries on the devil. Praise the Lord. He can only go so far. Do you know that as far as he can go cannot wipe you out if you don't let it? It cannot take you out if you don't let it? So any Christian that fails, it was never the plan of God. God's given them a way to win. And part of that way is through the direction he's given us in his word. People are scattered and faint, like sheep having no shepherd. Praise the Lord. So part of my job is to constantly direct people to God. Constantly say, "Hey, we gotta reel it back in and look back over here." You know what I'm saying? We gotta look. This is the plan. God will give every local church, he'll give every pastor, he'll give them vision for the area. He'll say, "This is what we need to do." And the people need to corral around it. They need to get connected to that vision, because that vision won't come to pass. Because again, the pastor can't do it on his own. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So turn with me to Romans 10:10. Glory to God. And I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Praise God. But I'm going to derobe a little bit here, because it's warm. As we've come into the the end of the season, but we had our thermostats turned down, but the weather was not cooperating with cooler weather and decided that it wanted to be warmer. So praise God, it's warm up here. Romans 10:10, glory, hallelujah. Isn't God good? Now, of course, we know Romans 10:9, confess to your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you know, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, we know these scriptures, right? We know that scripture. We usually give it every service. But in connection, we want to go on. We're taking it farther from there, because we understand that all operations of faith are the same. Yeah. Faith always operates the same. The same faith that saves us is the same faith that gets us through life. Yeah. Isn't that great? The same faith that saves us. So the very thing that brings us into the sheepfold is the same thing that will help us be victorious there. Amen? Isn't that exciting? I think God didn't make it hard. He said you just model your life after what you did to get in. Amen? The key that gets us in is the key that opens every other door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that excites me. I don't know about you. It says in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made until salvation." Okay? That word salvation is very important. We can't, we're going to see it a couple times here in different forms, saved, salvation. But salvation does not just mean that when you die and you go to heaven. It does include that, but it doesn't just mean that. The word saved there literally means delivered, healed, and protected. Delivered, healed, and protected. Delivered, healed, and protected. Praise the Lord. Now let's read this again. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." Remember, we talked about this before. Righteousness is simply thinking like God. Okay? "So with the heart one believes unto righteousness," becoming to that place where they're righteous, "and with the mouth confession is made unto being delivered, healed, and protected." What are you delivered from? What comes at you in life? What do you need healed from? What sickness comes on you in life? All these things God has given us promises for. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Protection, the protection of God, the favor of God. All these things are wrapped up in this area that we can always go into. So we understand that's important for us to understand. Amen? Yeah. It's important for us to know that. I was raised in a church, great people, wonderful people, Love the people. Still do today. We love to see them. They didn't teach this stuff. They didn't teach about being delivered, healed, and protected. I'm going to tell you something. I needed to be delivered. I was a Christian who needed to be delivered. Do you know there's some churches that have deliverance ministries? I think there's some in this town that have deliverance ministries. The only deliverance ministry you need is that of salvation. How do I know? Because everything is contained in salvation. Everything was given to us at salvation. God would do no more than he did at salvation. What I mean is he gave us everything. He gave us the ability. He gave us the power. He gave us the victory. He gave us all that we needed right there at salvation. And he said, it's done. Jesus said, it's done. It's finished. There's nothing else I got to do. I did it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that. People pray to God thinking that God, they're trying to get God to still do something that he's already done. You know, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, by his stripes you were healed. Doesn't say are healed. Said you were healed. Hallelujah. That's past tense. Were healed in the past. When were you healed? You know, Matthew 8:17 tells us that that he bore our sicknesses, right? Or how to carry our sicknesses, bore our infirmities, or something like that. I get my quarters a little bit off. We're still learning that verse to be able to quote it. Actually, you remember it? Huh? He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Yeah. Hallelujah. Both of those are past tense. Yeah. He did it. He himself did. Yeah. Jesus ain't up there taking sickness anymore. Right. He took it on the cross. Right. Praise the Lord. So God has done everything that he was ever going to do. He already did it back then. Right. But it's up to us to receive it by faith. Yeah. That's the difference. Now see, I wasn't taught to receive by faith. And a lot of people aren't taught to receive by faith. And if you're not taught to receive by faith, then you can't be saved by faith, because only by faith do we obtain anything. We saw that here, right? Praise the Lord. Let's look at it again. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Believing is having faith. You believe to that point. You will not confess, and confession is made unto salvation. Confession unto salvation means you're going to confess until that salvation appears. That's what it's talking about. It's a process. You confess what you believe. You believe what's in the Word. If you believe you're never going to be healed, then you will never confess that, and therefore you will never see it. You'll never walk in it. You can't walk in it because you can't receive that way. That's the same thing with salvation for Jesus. The only way that you can get into heaven is by confessing. You know, listen, it doesn't mean that we have to confess it so many times. But what it means is the confession is what you generally believe in or are thinking. You know what I mean? It's not that you have to confess. You know, some people think, well, you have to do so much work, so you have to do it so many times. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is confession will be a continual thing that comes out of you. I continually, every day, I believe in Jesus for salvation. What do I mean by that? I trust that he saved me today just as much as he did 10 years ago. I trust that he's going to save me 10 years from now just as much as he did today. His salvation, I'm going to trust that. I'm going to continually confess that. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And so we need to learn these things. But see, I wasn't taught these things. And I wasn't taught these things because people were bad. I wasn't taught these things because people didn't know. And so we're building on something here. Because this is important for us to understand. Amen? All these things. Glory to God. So we're still talking in this context, right? For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Whoever has faith in God will not be put to shame. What is it in context? What does that mean? If you're not put to shame in something you believe in, it means that you didn't believe in vain. You see, if you believe something and it never happened, then you say, well, that was in vain. I was put to shame. Because if you confess something or if you say something that isn't true, it doesn't come to pass. Praise the Lord. That's why you got to know what you believe. Right. Amen? And not believe things that aren't scriptural. Because if you believe things that aren't scriptural, you aren't going to have them. This is why a lot of Christians look like morons. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth, because they're out there believing things that aren't scriptural. And then they think, oh, praise God, glory. How far can I go with this? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just telling you, people will separate from the truth all the time because of desires or because of wants. And then they'll come back and they'll say, well, but God, no, what does the Bible say? I don't care what you heard. I don't care what you thought you knew. I don't care what you saw. Well, I don't care what you dreamed. I don't care whatever, all of it. I don't care about any of it. What does the Word say? The Bible says test the spirits. If we don't test the spirits, what are the spirits? Those are the, I'm not going to get into that right now, but praise the Lord. There's a lot working against us, amen? We'll just say that. And there's a lot working for us. There's more working for us than against us. Hallelujah. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Guess what? You don't need a name to have God be rich to you. You know, some of these pseudo-Christian cults, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, stuff like that, they tell you, you gotta be Mormon, or you gotta be Jehovah's Witness. The Catholics, you gotta be Catholic. Listen, I'm not against people, but I'm just telling you the truth. Bible just says he's rich to all who call upon him. I don't care who you are. If you're calling on God, if you're calling on Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I don't care what background you came from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what color your hair is. I don't care who you think you are. None of that matters, because the Bible tells us that. There's no distinction for God between Jew and Greek. It's the same Lord over all. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be healed, shall be protected. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, the time is ticking away, and I got lots of scripture. Praise the Lord. But look at this. What does it say in verse 14? Because this is still in context, right? We're still in the same vein. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? You aren't going to call on someone you don't believe in. If you don't believe God is going to heal you, you will not call on him for it. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't believe God will deliver you, if you believe that God has put some kind of trial on you to test you, you won't be delivered of it. I know people like this. I know many people like this. They think God put sickness on them to teach them something. You'll never call on him. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you believe that, God rebuke you if you do. Yeah. Because if you believe that God put something on you to teach you something, then why would you ask for it to be removed? Praise the Lord. I'm just telling the truth. There's a lot of Christians that think that God makes them sick. They'll go to a hospital. Well, if God make you sick, why are you in the hospital? If God made you sick, why are you going to the doctor? That's a den of Satan. You're going against the direction of God. If God made you sick, then suck it up and just deal with it. But see, God don't make people sick. Amen? Praise the Lord. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Praise the Lord. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now that word preacher, it means a herald. It's one who proclaims. You know, I think of the town criers, the guy that's standing on the street back in the day. You know, we're talking old school, right? Back in the old England and stuff like that. And you have a crier. I don't know what they were crying about, but they were heralding something. They were yelling something out. You know, in modern days, you know, more modern days, like back in the 30s, you extra, extra, read all about it. You know, you'd have the herald there. That's exactly what that is. They're saying, you got to read about this. You got to see this. This is what's happening. You gotta, no, come over here. Everybody get your attention. Why do they cry out? When you go to a baseball game, they go, popcorn, peanuts. Why do they do that? Because they're calling out. They're telling you what they got because they want you to come get what they got. Praise the Lord. Why does God make preachers? Because he wants people to come get what he's got. He wants people to be stirred up. He said he wants people, God wants people to know him, to understand him. He wants them to have faith. But they ain't going to hear unless somebody's preaching. And they're not going to hear the truth unless someone's preaching the truth. So if there's a bunch of people preaching non-truths, guess what? You're hearing non-truths. We got to preach the truth. We got to preach what God wants us to preach. We got to preach what the Word says to preach. Not some preconceived schedule. We got to preach this today and this today and this today. I've talked to ministers that know what they're going to preach 10 months from now. Glory to God. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I have a pretty good idea, but I know that's always subject to change. And believe me, it does. That's why we do things differently in the church. I tell every person that I marry, it's subject to change. Don't get wrapped up in the day, because the day may work and it may not. And if God calls me to do something else, guess what? I ain't going to meet. You can ask Josh and Rachel back there. Praise the Lord. They scheduled me to marry them, and I wanted to do it, and I did it. Praise the Lord. But I couldn't be there for some of the stuff because I was off serving my pastor in California. And so at the time, they were good with it. Praise the Lord, because they understood. They're good people. See, that's the way a spirit-led church works. We don't have to have things just like this. It'll change. Praise the Lord. What are you guys doing with my time? Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to help us. He wants us set free. Praise the Lord. I'm going through verse 17. How shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. This is what a minister does. They bring glad, or should be doing, is bringing glad tidings of good things. They're telling you about the truth of the word. They're telling you God wants you set free, that your trial will not last forever, that God will help you. He will see you through. God wants to help you. He wants to work in your life, and all you got to do is have faith and call on Him, and He'll start the process. In fact, He already started the process. He did it. He did it on loan to us with Jesus 2,000 years ago. He started the process. He said, this is what you can have. This is what you can know. Now you just follow after Him. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People wonder why they can't have faith, and it's because they're not hearing the word of God. They need it preached to them. Why? Because the Bible says so. You don't need it preached to you because I said so. You need it preached to you because the Bible says so. I still need the word preached to me. I go see my pastor at least once a week, and I get the word preached to me, generally speaking. This week, I'm going to travel to see a traveling minister. I'm going to see one out there, praise the Lord, in Tulsa. And the reason I'm going is because I need the word preached to me. Because I need it put into me too, praise the Lord. And there's other times throughout the year that we do such things. There'll be times where there's lots of times when we're in church, praise the Lord. Right now, we're in church 3 times a week just in our own churches, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And it's good. Sets us free. Need the word preached, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's see. Because of time, yeah, go ahead and... Well, let's just go. I'm going to turn there. You can, if you can get there quick, go ahead and go. Otherwise, take it down. Psalm 92. Maybe you can get there before me. Psalm 92. I just want you to see something here. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Glory to God. Psalm 92, 12 through 15, or 12 through 15, yeah. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Oh, glory to God. He shall grow like cedar in Lebanon. I don't know what that is, but it wouldn't be good unless they put it in, if they didn't, if, you know. I imagine a cedar in Lebanon is a good thing, right? A palm tree, you see palms growing, they look flourishing. Whenever I go to California, I see a palm tree growing. I don't think, well, that looks like a dying weed. Praise the Lord. It looks good. Praise the Lord. So the righteous, the one, remember, righteousness is thinking like God. Amen. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. It's good to flourish. To declare that the Lord, and this is why, to declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. We are all to be heralds of the gospel of our living God. But listen, you can't talk about the healing God if you're always bound up not being healed. You can't talk about the protecting God if you're constantly getting defeated. You can't talk about the God of prosperity if you're constantly never making ends meet. If you're constantly never... See, God wants to help us in all these areas. You cannot read this scripture. You cannot go through... I'll tell you, you can't go through the entire Bible and see where God wants His people. Sick, naked, broken, defeated, poor. You'll never see that in scripture. Ever see that in scripture. In fact, the only scriptures that people try to use, they take out of context every time. So if you got one, bring it to me and I'll just show you. I'll make it clear. It's that simple, amen? One of my favorites is the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's the complete misquote of the scripture. It doesn't even say that. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, but not the root of all evil. And the love of money has nothing to do, like, listen, there's a difference between loving money and being generous with money. And the Bible promises if you're generous, you increase. So how would God be against you getting rich? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Psalm or Proverbs 10:22, praise the Lord. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men pour into your bosom. It's just the word. Glory to God. That's what the word says. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, turn to me. You know, we're gonna make it. Amen. We're gonna do this in 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Do I got more than 5 minutes, or I got 5 minutes? What do I got? About 5 minutes? About 5 minutes. I like my wife. Praise the Lord. She's about. About doesn't mean I have to hit the nail right on the head. Ephesians 4. Let's see. This is, we're wrapping it up here, honestly. Praise God that we're wrapping it up. All right. Just kidding. Just keeping it fresh and light. Hallelujah. Just joking. Ephesians 4. Starting in verse 7. Yeah. Oh, man, praise the Lord. I love this. Look at this. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us, grace was given. Grace is always defined as God's unmerited or unearned favor. The favor of God. So the favor, you can't earn it. You can't do enough for it. But God's grace, the measure, look at this. Let me read it just right. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So he gave us this favor according to his gift. It's by what he did for us. Amen. But we got to read this in context. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, a lot of people think that the grace of God that comes into their lives are some kind of gift, endowment to do certain things. Now, God puts endowments on people. I'm not saying he doesn't, but that's not what this is talking about. Let's keep this in context. Now, verses 8 and 9, they explain something, or I'm sorry, 9 and 10, they explain something here. And so I'm going to, that's not pertinent to exactly what we're talking about. Yes, it's a filler, but a good filler. It explains what God meant by ascending and descending. So we have to keep this in context. And because of that, I want you to go from 8 to 11, okay? So therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, right? Or to men. And he himself gave some to be, praise the Lord, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So these are what the gifts are. This is what he's talking about in context. I'm not over-explaining the Bible. You can see it right there. He explains what ascending is and descending, because that was important. But he goes on to say that God has given us these ministry offices. Now, the reason I'm why I'm talking about the pastoral is because that's one right now that's the most pertinent to our lives, and that's the one that operates in our lives most often. We see the pastor most often, or we should. You know, we see the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and we see those things, and they're all good, but most often we're the pastor, because the pastor's in the local church. Amen. And this is why, verse 12, praise God, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is what the gifts do. They equip you for the work of the ministry and edify the body of Christ, all of us together. We're all the body together. If we are not edified together, we can't operate the way God has us to operate. All the blessing in my life is tied to my pastor. And the reason is because he's the gift that God gave me to put in my life to help get me from being squirrely, so I could do the work of the ministry, so I could walk in the blessings of God, so I could start. You see how it goes back? It builds upon each other, because that's what God intended it to do. God has put these things. But see, the people without a shepherd, they were scattered and faint. They were weary and faint, or weary and scattered, as our version says. One version says scattered and faint. It means the same thing. They were tired. They were overburdened. They just didn't know what to do. They didn't know that it could break off of them. Yes. Praise the Lord. I would guarantee that I could ask most of you that have been coming to church for a while. Have you noticed a change since you've been taught the word? I know you have because I've seen it in you. Praise the Lord. And I've seen it in me too. And it isn't what I'm doing. It isn't what my wife is doing. I mean, we are part of it, but we're no more part of it than you're part of it. You're part of the process too. See, we're all, this is just my job. Praise the Lord. It's like we don't shame the person who cleans the toilets. That's their job. That's what they do. You know what I mean? We're thankful for it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You would think that every religion, because they have this book, has the knowledge of the Son of God. But they don't. Because some think that God makes them sick. Some think that God's taken away from them. Some think that God's killing their babies or killing their grandmas or killing whoever. Just God's killing everybody. That's the way a lot of people think. You're not in a unity of faith because you don't understand the Word. You don't have the knowledge of the Word of God working in you. Well, look what the knowledge of the Word, the knowledge of the Son of God, look what it does to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God intends us to go from glory to glory. He didn't just say that you get to and it's something you get happy about because it's something nice that you can cross stitch on a pillow. No, he says that you go from glory to glory because he wants you to understand that God doesn't want you to be what you came in as. He wants you to come in, but then he wants you to grow and grow and grow, because as a tree grows, it produces fruit. And the more fruit that it produces, the more desired the tree is. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to any orchard and you see trees, there's a big difference between trees that are just planted and trees that are 30 years old. The ones that are 30 years old are producing a lot more if they've been taken care of. They're producing a lot more and they're desired to have, and it's a valuable commodity. And the same thing is with people. I'll tell you what, a group of Christians, 10 Christians that are faithful are better than a church of 1,000 Christians that aren't doing anything. I'm just telling you the truth. Glory to God. That's why we're not moved by numbers at all. Praise the Lord. Because what God's doing, he's doing. And he's doing it good. And we're working with them, amen? And this is why, look at this, this is part of the reason for the gifts, right? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Praise the Lord. What is God saying? He's saying that if we don't receive these gifts, if we won't connect to them, then we are not going to have the things that come from them. We'll be tricked. We'll be deceived. We'll be like children, tossed to and fro. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time. That's the exact same way I was. I was a church hopper. Glory to God. I didn't know. I just went from church to church to church. Every Sunday, I would pray and I would seek the Lord and what church to take me to. It was never right. It was never right. Because I was the most unstable I ever was in that time period. In my entire life, the most unstable was when I was church hopping. Wow. Just telling you the truth. Praise God. We're going to close with this. Go ahead and just look at it up here, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will complete it. Will. He will complete it. Will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. You know, as we close, I want you to think about this. A soldier going into battle. What would happen if a soldier going into battle said, you know what? I know I've got all this training. I've got all this equipment, but I'm not going to use any of it. I'm just going to leave it behind. That's the way the body of Christ is. They're rejecting the things. By and large, they're rejecting what God has done, what God has placed. We see that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, which were the ministry offices. And people reject these things. They say, well, I can do it my way. I don't need a stinking pastor. I can be my own pastor, or anybody can be the pastor. It doesn't work that way. If you reject the equipment that you have to fight the enemy that's coming for you, then you're not going to be able to fight him effectively. Praise the Lord. And that's just the truth of the matter. We don't, if a soldier did it, we'd say they're foolish. But Christians do it all the time. So let's connect to what God's doing. Let's say, okay, Lord, this is where you have me, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to connect to this. Lord, show me what my role is in. Show me what my place is in. Show me what I'm to do, praise the Lord. And lead me and guide me accordingly, and then trust him to do it. I am not saying follow a man or a woman blindly. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Jesus. As I follow Christ, you follow me. Praise the Lord. If this is where you're called, then you follow me as I follow Christ. But you stay with me, and we'll go there together. Amen.